Mark 13:33, as we stand together in respect for the word of God. Mark 13:33. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey, who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Precious Holy Spirit, we take seriously this morning this command and severe warning from God to be on the alert. But we also acknowledge, Lord, that we are incapable of even doing that on our own. But we know, Lord, what you command, you are also prepared to accomplish for us. So we give ourselves to you this morning, Lord, to teach us through your word, instruct us, encourage us, and lead us in the way, Lord, to keep this command to be on the alert. In your precious name we pray, amen. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. That passage is addressed to the church. All of God's people have an appointment to meet him. Verse 33 speaks of the appointed time. Now that time may be at our individual deaths, or the time could be at the rapture. But we have an appointment to meet him. And that appointment, that meeting with God, will involve a review or an evaluation of how we performed the task that Christ entrusted to us while we were here on earth. Notice verse 34, it says, it's like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task. We have tasks. We have works to perform. Now, we want to be clear, just in case there are some who are still not clear, that no one is saved by anything we do, any works we perform. I've heard people say before about someone who's passed on, he must be in heaven. He was such a good person. Well, Jesus said, no one is good except God himself. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. And if being good were a qualification for going to heaven, no one would go. Paul wrote to Titus and said, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. But even though we're not saved by what we do, we're saved to do. Let me repeat that. We're not saved by what we do, but we are saved to do something. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest no one could boast. But then verse 10 goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has appointed beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, verse 10 there is addressing believers, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, those who have finally understood that you can't get saved by works and you put your faith in the finished work of the cross. But now God says you have been saved, created in Christ Jesus for or unto good works. It's the reason that you have been saved, to walk in good works. We all need to say to ourselves, I have been saved to perform good works. I haven't been saved just to go to church. I haven't been saved just to read my Bible. I haven't even been saved just to pray. I certainly haven't been saved just to die and go to heaven. I've been saved to do something. Now, one of the reasons we should go to church and read our Bibles and pray is to be ready to fulfill the task that God is continually giving us to do. So that when we do go to heaven, we'll be ready to give an account to God. See, not everyone that's going to heaven is ready to meet God. The title of this message this morning is Preparing for Our Next Assignment. Jesus says in John 5:17, My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. God accomplishes His work here on earth through you and me. Now, why God chose to do it that way, I don't know. That's God's business. But I do know, according to His Word, that what He accomplishes here on earth, He desires to accomplish through the church, through you and me. And God is always working, Jesus says. That means that He always has an assignment for you and me. And when that assignment is over, He has another assignment, and then another assignment. God's work is never done, therefore our work is never done. Now, God's assignment for you may be a major work, a huge worldwide ministry. I don't know, but it could also be as simple as speaking to someone in the grocery store. Now, I don't mean giving them the gospel. I mean speaking. Hello. God's assignment for you could be to go up to someone and give them a hug. God's assignment may be how you interact with someone in your own family. But God always has an assignment. And He's always trying to prepare you for the next assignment. In fact, He'll use assignments to prepare you for the next assignment. The Bible says that he who is faithful in the little will be faithful in the much. So God will give you a little assignment. And if you're faithful, He'll give you a bigger assignment. And while you're doing that assignment, that is the preparation for the next assignment. Some people say, well, gee, how come I'm not growing like so-and-so? You need to look at how you're handling your assignments. Because he who is faithful in the little will be faithful in the much. But he who is unfaithful in the little will be unfaithful in the much. And God knows that. So you see, we don't move to the next assignment until we get this one correct. But according to this word this morning, whatever task, whatever assignment that God has for us requires that we be on the alert. See, God is always trying to speak to us to show us our assignment. And in order to hear from Him, we must be on the alert. Notice verse 35, therefore be on the alert. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Be on the alert. Notice verse 34. This verse really impacted me this week. And I in fact tried to walk around this And the Holy Spirit kept bringing me back. And in verse 34, it says, it is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one a task. Okay, so we know that God assigns to each of us individually a task. But notice, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. I never saw that before. Read this before. Understood that God has given me a task, a work to do. But now he said, but he's also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Who's the doorkeeper? Now, in the Old Testament, the doorkeeper literally opened the door of the temple. The doorkeeper gave people access and direction into the presence of God. Now, while Jesus was on earth, he served as the doorkeeper for his disciples. Jesus listened and watched very carefully for his next assignment from the Father. And when he received his assignment as a spiritual leader, he recognized that his responsibility was to move those in his charge to where God wanted them to be. See, not only was he responsible for hearing from God for himself, but he was also responsible to hear from God for those under his charge so that he might give them direction. Today, the doorkeeper is the church. The doorkeeper is anyone within the church with spiritual authority. Certainly it includes the pastor, but it includes anyone with spiritual authority. It also includes those in your individual households who have the spiritual authority. The husband, the father, the single mother, the guardian, whoever that might be. See, the Bible says that God has placed in the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. God places spiritual leadership in a place to direct people to their assignments, to give them positive direction so that they might perform that work of service that God has prepared for them. See, it's my responsibility as a doorkeeper to stay alert and to hear from God, not only for myself, but to give you direction on how you can stay alert and hear from God. Now, that could get real touchy, especially if the doorkeeper isn't staying alert. And oh, has God shown me that in my own personal prayer time? The enormous responsibility that I have as a spiritual leader. If you're a deacon, a ministry director, if you're the spiritual head of your home. See, let me explain it like this. Every ministry, we know we have a church of many ministries. And every ministry that's in place here, all the different services, this service, tonight's service, the worship service, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the home Bible studies, the school, all of those various things have been put in place because God said to put them in place. Now we're, you know, praise God that we have a church that heeds this call for spiritual leadership. There are churches that are in utter confusion because the pastor pretty much is told what to preach, and there are people in the church who direct the whole church, and they're not spiritual people. They operate the church like a business. Now, you see, the Bible is saying that if you're not hearing from God, you have no business directing anything. You need to be hearing from God. Every program, every ministry, every service or prayer meeting or Bible study is in place because we've heard from God. And those things are in place to offer to you opportunities to equip you for the work of service, to give you a forum so that you too can hear from God and prepare yourself to meet your next assignment. Now, there's two difficulties with that. And that is, first of all, some people look at these things that have been put into place not as opportunities, but as obligations. I recently heard someone had said that they weren't comfortable here because they always felt obligated to do something. Well, see, they were confusing opportunities with obligation. I would not be faithful to my charge as a pastor, as a doorkeeper, if I weren't presenting you with opportunities. But simply because there is an opportunity doesn't mean I'm trying to enforce upon you an obligation. You know, would you rather have me not place the opportunity? But as soon as somebody sees that opportunity out there, oh, I'm being made to feel like I have to do it. No, it's just there. Now it's between you and God. At prayer yesterday morning, Marianne Lordy put it, I was kind of explaining where I was going with this, and she expressed it so well. She said, you could bring someone to the living water, but you can't make them drink. But see, I would be wrong if I didn't present to you the living water. See, a lot of people are a whole lot more comfortable in churches where they don't have opportunities. They don't have to stay alert because there's nothing to stay alert for. During the song this morning, we were singing, the power of heaven revealing his purpose in me. And I was really taken with that. And obviously, Pastor Mark Cusick was, because he made the statement, and he made this, I don't think so much as a question, but as a statement that came out as a question. He said, aren't you amazed at the power of God revealing his purpose in you? And I kind of glanced around, and I just saw a whole bunch of unamazed people. And the note I made was, no, Pastor, most people are not amazed. Most people didn't have a clue that they even should be amazed at the power of God revealing his purpose, his direction, his assignment to you. Okay, next song. You're not amazed? I know you're not amazed. I mean, some are, I'm not generalizing, but few are amazed. You are amazed. I would embarrass you if I would go pew by pew and look you in the face and say, are you amazed at the power of God revealing his purpose in you? Would you repeat that, Pastor? I know you're not amazed. But you see, that could take me in one of two directions. That could take me into a place of frustration and unholy anger. Or that could take me to a place of recognizing that as a doorkeeper, God makes it very clear that my task is to continue to hear from him, to find ways so that you might be amazed. And maybe next week there might be one more amazed. And next, the following week, just one more amazed. There's always just a remnant that's amazed. The thoughts of coming before God and hearing from God what he has for you. To know that you're walking in the will of God. Oh, how could you not be amazed? Jesus was amazed. Jesus recognized that he was the doorkeeper. And so he always stayed on the alert. In John 5:20, he says, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he is doing." He said, I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, I speak these things as the Father taught me. He would go and spend time with God in prayer and communication, and God would teach him something, and Jesus would go out and speak it. You know, I quote those three passages. I've been quoting them a lot in the last few months. But I'm quoting them because they are of the most extreme importance that we understand. Jesus is telling us that we are to be on the alert, because when he comes for us, he wants us to be found working on that assignment. Whatever assignment we have at that given moment, we should be working on it. Be like, Jesus, what are you doing? Well, I don't know. Didn't you hear me? I tried to speak to you. I tried to give you your assignment. I guess I didn't hear you, Jesus. See, the problem is a lot of people think that alertness that we need should be directed toward the assignment. We're looking around looking for the assignment. What's the assignment? What could I do? Where does God want me? What's my purpose? What can I do? Stop trying to find the assignment. We're to stay alert so that we don't miss him when he gives us the assignment. Anyone who's involved in ministry, anyone who starts a program, anyone who makes a decision in their home, anyone with God, it should be that clear. And what do you do until it's that clear? Nothing. People say, I want to do the will of God. And so then they go and they look for the will of God. Don't look for the will of God. Look for God. When you find him, you'll find his will. See, Jesus understood that his responsibility as a doorkeeper was to point the disciples toward God. And God would show them their next assignment. Now, Jesus spoke this word, be on the alert. God's word is always tested. The Bible says it. Jesus spoke that word. Be on the alert to the disciples. Now God's word was about to be tested. Look how this is played out now. Look in chapter 14. Just a couple of verses right there. Chapter 14, verse 26. Now Jesus speaks this word. Be on the alert. They have the last Passover supper. And they're getting ready to head to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says in 14, verse 26, and after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you that you yourself, this very night before a cock crows twice, shall three times deny. Is this about to be the testing of the word that Jesus gave the apostles to be on the alert? Go back to 13, verse 35. Therefore, be on the alert, For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at what? Cock crowing, or in the morning. And then Jesus says to Peter, before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. Why? Because Peter, you're not on alert. See, were some offended when I said to you, you're not amazed? I'm not saying that with an angry heart at all. I'm saying that because the Holy Spirit showed me that. You're not amazed. Peter, you're not alert. You're not ready for this test. But Peter kept saying incessantly, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all were saying the same thing too. Verse 32, let's continue to read. And they came to a place named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter. He was about to give Peter an object lesson. And James and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And I circled that phrase, and keep watch. Jesus is not telling them to be lookouts, looking for the soldiers or for the people coming into the garden to take him capture. That is not what he meant here. Verse 38, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You can't separate watching and praying. You see, Romans chapter 8 tells us that we do not know how to pray as we should. How do we know how to pray? The Holy Spirit shows us if we're watching. If we're alert enough to see and hear what he's trying to say to us. Tonight's message before the baptism, I'm going to present a message that's going to tie into this. And I really encourage you to come to encourage those in the baptism to also hear this message. I've entitled this message tonight, Unhurried Time with God. One of the big reasons we don't hear from God, one of the big reasons we don't see what God wants us to do, is because we're always in such a big hurry. My own personal rule, and I believe is scripturally based, and I place this rule upon myself, is that I will not leave my time of prayer with God until I've heard from Him, until I know I have heard from Him. And if that takes more time than I have on this end, then I'll just start earlier so that I have it on this end. Because prayer without hearing from God is not prayer at all. It's just a ritual. Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. There would be so many children of God that will not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Now, there have been books written and sermons preached on that you need to pray for an hour. That is not what that's talking about. It's not saying you need to pray for an hour. He didn't say you could stop praying now. 60 minutes have elapsed. What Jesus was saying was that the appointed time for me to be placed into the hands of those who will crucify me, that appointed time has come. How many times throughout the Gospels do we read after Jesus performs a miracle and says, don't tell anyone? Or even when Mary asked him to turn the water into wine or to do something there, perform a miracle, what his response? My hour has not yet come. See, the Bible says there is a time for everything under the sun. God has an appointed time. Even as we have an appointed time to meet Him, an appointment to meet Him, there is an appointment for everything. And there's too many believers who are infamous for either being late for their appointments or not keeping their appointments at all. It's because we haven't heard from Him. Jesus' hour had come. He knew it. How did He know it? Because He stayed alert by being in the presence of the Father. The Father who showed Him all things made Him aware that night in the garden that His next assignment had arrived. See, Jesus struggled in the garden, didn't He? But once God made it clear what His will was, Jesus was able to submit His will to the will of the Father. And the Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. How? How could He have joy about going to be crucified? Because He knew it was the Father's will. How did He know it was the Father's will? The Father showed Him. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. The cross was His next assignment. Now see, Jesus spoke that word, be on the alert, and the doorkeeper needs to be on the alert. That word was tested in Jesus' own life. And He was on the alert. He passed the test right there in the garden. But what about the disciples? And as we talk about the disciples, let's not be too judgmental because, you know, I know as a doorkeeper that this word that's being preached this morning is going to be tested in my life, probably before I leave church this morning. This word's going to be tested in your life. Jesus said to the disciples, keep watching and praying. Remember, the only way you could pray correctly is to watch. Keep watching and praying. Why? So that you may not enter into temptation. See, Peter thought it was enough, his emotional acclamation. Even though I have to die with you, I will not deny you. See, that was enough for Peter. Just get all emotional. And instead of watching for their next assignment, they fell asleep. Look at back in Mark 13, again reading it from verse 35, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Well, within hours, that word was tested. Flip over to verse 66 in chapter 14. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came and Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Nazarene." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are talking about." Peter had an assignment here. He had an assignment to take a stand for God. It was his next assignment. And he slept through the instructions. But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you're talking about." And he went out onto the porch. The maid saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, "This is one of them." But again, he was denying it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too." But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you're talking about." And immediately, a cock crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." Oh, I underlined this. I underlined it and almost wept this morning. I was weeping in my heart as I read this and underlined this. And he began to weep. See, because, you know, the English language is very, very shallow. When it says he began to weep, it doesn't give us the full impact of the tearing, the cutting that was taking place within Peter. Very quickly, as we prepare to close, not very quickly, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. He began to weep. Hang on to that, please. Matthew chapter 24. Oh, I read this morning. And my heart wanted to just burst. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Let's read it carefully. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food?" Look at the proper time. God has placed us. Don't understand the way the church should be in the world. It's like we've taken a secondary role. God has placed the church in the world to enact his will on the earth. To give the world their food, what God has for them, and to do it at the proper time, the hour that has come to pass. God says, "I have food for you." He was saying to Peter, "I have food for you to give to this servant girl. I have food for you to give to that one in your household who wants to know how much I love them. I want to give the food through you at the proper time. When I come and say, now's the time, now is the hour is at hand. This is your next assignment." Blessed, verse 46, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing. When he comes, truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and shall begin to beat his fellow slave," his fellow slaves. See, there's a whole lot of believers who are, instead of preparing for their next assignment, are too busy beating on their fellow slaves. Too busy being critical and finding fault with other believers and doorkeepers. They're beating their fellow slaves and eating and drinking with drunkards, acting just like the world. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know. See, an hour which he does not know. Look, this was Peter. Here's Peter right here. Listen. And shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and the gnashing of teeth. Now, I know there's a lot of people that want to just talk about hell there and punish. We need to see how it applies to us right now. At that moment, because Peter missed his assignment, because he failed when the word of God was tested, and he hadn't been on the alert, Peter was cut in pieces. He felt assigned to the place with the hypocrites. Weeping was there, and the gnashing of teeth. No, if you don't think that Peter remembered that, you read 1 Peter. In fact, I have numerous scriptures here. I've been reading from 1 Peter. I was even going to share some this morning, but that's for another hour. What did Peter say? He said, be on the alert. In 1 Peter 1:13, he says, gird your loins, which means be ready for the battle. Always be ready. Always be ready. And he says, be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, is always prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's saying, I know what I'm talking about, my brothers and sisters, because I was attacked and devoured, and I was cut in pieces and assigned a place with the hypocrites, and there was weeping and gnashing of teeth because I missed my next assignment, and Jesus told me it was going to happen, and I didn't believe him, and I fell asleep rather than watching so that I might not enter into temptation. And we wonder why the Christian church hasn't taken over the world today. Because no one's amazed. Let's bow our hearts before God. Tonight, before the evening service, at 4:00, I'll be here. Watching. If you're able to, or if you care to, I want to present that opportunity to you. What an opportunity to prepare our hearts for what God has for us tonight. I sense in my spirit that God is going to do some marvelous things tonight. We need to be alert. What's your next assignment? Trust me, brothers and sisters, trust me. If there's anything that I know because I know because I know is true, it's that the word of God is tested. And this word will be tested. Maybe in a very little thing, maybe in a very big thing, but it'll be tested. Each and every one of our lives. Will we be alert enough to pass the test? Will we recognize the next assignment when it's presented before us? Precious Lord, I just ask a special blessing on this congregation. You know, Holy Spirit, the special things you had to do in my heart this morning before I came to the pulpit. And I thank you, Lord. And I thank you for the awesome love that you've placed in my heart for these dear, precious people. But, oh Lord, I know they're not amazed. I know they're not amazed, Lord. I pray that your love draws us to repentance, opens our heart, so that we might hear you and see you. Bless each one, Lord God. Continue to equip them for the work of service, for the next assignment. I pray, Lord, that each of us will identify with Peter by heeding his warning rather than experiencing his weeping. In your name I pray for this church. Amen. Let's stand together.